Kathy from Austin says, in the service manual, page 51 states how to appeal decision made by a group conscience. Eileen Forth Smith is asking, can you repeat the questions again? And the questions are in the screen. Will you share something you have learned today? What have you guys learned? What is the one thing that you had your aha moment with? Do you still have questions? How can you envision using KBDM in your group? And can you envision using it in your personal decisions? I don't see anything. Judy, I'm going back to you.
Well, I guess that's it. That's the end of my presentation. We'll come back. We're going to take a break. We'll get set up and do the one for personal decision. Good. Nobody has any more questions.
We'll find out. Let's take a break.
Get a raised hand here.
Oh, yeah, Tracy. Does anybody from Italy, the Netherlands, Germany, are you all... do you have any questions? Was it easy to follow for you? Pia, I see you put your earbuds in. I'm asking the foreigners, was this easy to follow? Do you have any questions? Do you use any of KBDM in your structure, in your GSO, in your country? I'd love to hear from you. You have to raise your electronic hand, otherwise it gets hard for me to find you. Whoever is on here, Suzanne, Frederica, anybody from the foreign GSOs, foreign service structures? Okay, Pia, I have to find you because I have to unmute you. So that's when people put their blue hand in the air, it's easier for me to find them. Hold on, I've got you. There, unmute.
Unmute, okay. Hello, my name is Pia, I'm from the Netherlands. Well, we don't have any knowledge-based decision-making yet in the Netherlands, and I'm looking forward to introduce it in the Netherlands. I just wrote down what you said about Robert's Rules, because for me, I mean, Robert's Rules, what's that all about? So I looked it up on Google and I think, okay, there's more to read about that. do I have questions? Yeah, lots of them, but I don't know where to start. So I just want to get it all in, sink in with me, the knowledge-based decision-making. And one of the things I just heard passing by was the conflict resolutions card. I just got them a few weeks and I'm trying to translate them in Dutch so we can use them. I'm looking forward to use all those materials. And thank you so much for organizing this workshop, Yvonne. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Pia. That's it. Oh, Sandra from Copenhagen.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, cool. My microphone sometimes messes up. Okay, so I'm kind of new to Al-Anon. I've been going since October, so I don't know that much about the structure, but it seems to me that you have a few more layers of, I don't know what to call it. You have a group representative and maybe a state representative, and then you have like your decision making goes through more administration. We don't have, every meeting has a group representative and we have conferences where they meet and make decisions about what happens in Denmark. Mm-hmm. I think for most of us, we try and sort of see if it comes naturally to make knowledge-based decisions so that we are as informed as we can be before we make the decision and we try to make every voice heard. It became kind of, I was involved in creating Zoom meetings in Denmark, and all of a sudden we were like two or three people working together trying to decide what platform do we use? Do we use Zoom? There was some talk about, I don't know, hacking or something. Some people became nervous in the beginning, not knowing, is this a secure platform or not? Should we shift to another platform? Who's going to investigate? And it became sort of a topic that came up every business meeting, but nobody had the time to investigate other platforms. So we kept sitting on Zoom saying, maybe we shouldn't be here. Maybe newcomers won't want to join us if they don't feel secure. And it felt like we were very few people making decisions for all the rest of the people out there who used to go to meetings. Which platform should we use? And so the question I'm left with is mainly if we are three or four people and we disagree. I mean, the thing that we wish we knew but don't is how do all the rest of the people feel about it? Are they not coming to online meetings because it's on Zoom or because it's a weird platform when you're used to face-to-face? Should we change platforms and see what happens? Which platform should we use? And then if we're five people and two say yes and three say no, that becomes tricky for me because it feels like three are being bossy and the two are sort of the minority vote, but only by a small margin. I mean, how do you avoid feeling that you're sort of just plowing through and everybody else doesn't get heard? Or are you making the right decision for a huge group if you're only three or four people making the decision? Yeah, thank you.
Glad you're here. Thanks for being here.
Can you speak to that question?
About the Zoom?
Well,
what's interesting is after so many groups started going on Zoom, I had a conversation with a friend of mine about this group that was jumping onto different group meetings, especially 12-step meetings, and disrupting them. And so Zoom got to work right away, and they've implemented more security levels. Security. They're making you put a password on everything now, and you can use the waiting room function. And I think that's how they think they're going to solve it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I've only been on one of the workshops that we do on Wednesday night. They had somebody on that one night, and she just kicked them out of the meeting. So, and that was fairly simple. Yeah.
I think what Sandra's asking, and you can nod, is that when you're tasked to make a decision with five people and there's three against two, how do you not feel that you're the minority and that you feel unheard, unseen, but how are you going to make the right decision for the bigger whole of Al-Anon, in this case, Denmark? And what came to my mind is that if I am tasked with delegated authority of being put into a committee or a thought force or task force, then Al-Anon commissions me to think for them and to find solutions that goes through a voting process. But when I'm in that group and I feel that there is strong voices and my voice is not that strong, and maybe the feeling of being unheard, unseen is personal because that is my stuff. That's my stuff if I don't get what I want. I have to go back to myself first and talk to my sponsor, service sponsor, but it's also the conflict resolution cards to say, let me understand what you're saying. So I'm mirroring back to them what I think what I hear from them, but I also would like them to mirror back to me what I'm saying to make sure that they're hearing my point of view and to make sure that they having an informed opinion about that for themselves. And if it is three against two, then I need to accept that. But what I have learned in Al-Anon, that we're very often we can put trials into motion and say, just for 6 months, we're going to try Zoom. If it doesn't work for us, we may want to try this other platform. But we'll take that group conscience when we get there, and we'll involve the people on that platform to do that with us. So that way you set something in motion. You're not solely responsible. You get input from the platform back, and you can still change your decision. And that's the beauty in Al-Anon. I can change my mind, and I can change the decision. I'm not stuck anymore. I have the ability to say no in different ways in Al-Anon that is like, hey, let's reconsider this. Is this still working for us? Instead of, no, don't like it. Or, oh my God, I'm stuck forever with this. Does that help? Thank you. All right, let's take a 10-minute break. We'll come back at 11:30, and then we're going to talk about doing this in your personal life. Thank you. Frederica, I see your hand. I'm going to unmute you anyway. People can still take a break. If you want to say something, go for it.
Hi.
Hi.
I can speak. Oh, I have to wait. I don't understand.
You speak. Go for it. Yes.
I would like to you ask for the KBDM for the structure. I would like, first of all, I would like to thank Judy. I sent a message because thank you for this workshop and for the clarity and and how she speaks slowly. So really, it was really, really easy for me to understand and to follow the workshop. So, and I learned a lot about when I was international delegate, I learned a lot about this. I translated a lot from the summary of the conference. I tried to pass it on to our board of trustees, and they try sometimes to use this KBDM. And we had a workshop during the conference, but we are living as a general service a very, very strong situation. So we lost even the group conscience. So imagine the KBDM. I don't know what is gone. But in my experience, in my group, I try to not in DS. Weigh the questions, but in one case we were able to have a very, very group conscience informed more than one meetings, and it was a decision that involved even AA, and so we had a very good result when you use KBDM. But these are only my experience, and so I am still learning. I'm happy to find in MBS recording or whatever the picture of the file and or in PDF of the workshop, and I will try to learn more. Thank you so much. Thank you, Yvonne, and thank you, Judy.
Yes.
Thank you, Federica.
Can you see my PowerPoint okay?
Yes, I can.
All right. I'll be right back.
Okay, great. Maddie, I see you. I will get to you just before we start up the session again, if that's okay with you. I'm going to get something to drink.
They may have questions that they thought about. You know, we can take a few minutes to do those too. So
go for it, Maddie. You have to unmute yourself.
Thank you. Thank you, Yvonne, and thank you, Judy. I just happen to be in an area where KBDM is used a lot, and Judy is the one who brought the KBDM and explained it in our area. And we use it in our district. We use it in everything. But for me, every time I think I got KBDM down, other courses come up, because I remember when the first time I heard it was 5 courses, now it's the 4 courses, which is good. So we do use it in our areas. We do use it in our district. However, we're now beginning to use it more in our group. And one of the ways we're using it now, because of this Zoom platform and everything that we are using, one of the good things we did was we started an email distribution list a long time ago, way before the COVID hit. So it has been a good platform for us to communicate. So one of the things that's come up now is, do we want to keep using Zoom through the end of the year? Our club where we meet is set up for social distancing. And in our room, we can only get a few people. So if we were to go back with just a few people, how would that look for the ones if we want to continue to use Zoom. So we have a put in place where we're looking at different platforms now, because I just learned that there's more than Zoom out there. I've learned that there's another tool out there where you can be in a room and it can do a whole entire 360. Mm-hmm. However, it's expensive. So now we're going back and through email, because we have to do a lot of emails for our communication. And we set up the group conscience, and we give the 2 weeks because we have to announce it. We have 3 meetings and everybody don't come to all the meetings. So we're using that platform with the KBDM to talk about, do we want to do this? If so, when? If we're going to use one of the new meeting platforms we see out there, and how will we pay for it? So these are things that we talk about. We're not making any decisions. Right now it's just in the discussion stage. And then we'll look at, as it goes, we'll go to the next level. But we are using KBDM now. And that's only because I ask questions. I've listened to Judy give these presentations in our area. Then everything that we do in our area is using KBDM. I had a very difficult time comprehending KBDM because it's different from, I used Robert Drew's Waters for many, many years in my workplace. So going from one to the other, and I like the KBDM the way that we use it for the Al-Anon group. So thank you, Judy, because I've learned some more today and I'm understanding. So the more we do it, the more I hear. I can apply it, and I take it back to my group. So thank you, Judy, and thank you, Yvonne, for putting this on.
Thank you, Maddie.
I'm going to skip out just a minute.
Okay, Judy.
Okay.
11:30, let's go personal.
All right. Put that on. Okay. Using KBDM for my personal decisions. This is something I did, and I wanted to share it because people have asked me how I made the decision that I did. I need to tell you right off that KBDM process is used for making decisions with mega issues for organizations, area level Al-Anon assemblies, some district situations, and with some adjustment, group and personal decisions. This process and the principles of KBDM helped me come to a resolution for a personal decision that would affect the rest of my life. Had I not been willing to tackle this as a mega issue, a personal mega issue, I might not have ever realized the possibilities available to me 7 years ago. I need to mention that because it is a personal decision that made up of your thought force, you're made up of the thought force and the task force, will look quite different. You are it. You are your thought force and you are your task force. You will want to be willing to use lots of resources, and you need to ask the tough decisions, the tough questions, and make the tough decisions and use the resources that you gather. And you need to be open to their ideas and suggestions. After all, what are you looking for is information, and you have to do the gathering and the doing. You're the thinkers and the doer. So don't be afraid to ask questions. Be vulnerable. Be willing to not know. And the answers and the possibilities. This is something I went through about 7 or 8 years ago, and talk about how I worked my way through it using the KBDM process with some modifications of course, to relocate or not relocate. I guess I'm getting dry, just a second. Anyway, to relocate or not relocate after living in the same place for approximately 35 years. And the other question was, if I decided, would I relocate where? I've learned through using this process that trying to make decisions for myself, I'm limited to the options that I know and can comfortably think of, and I must be willing to look beyond what I am thinking today. That all said, my options were unlimited, and I think this made an even bigger decision than just having a yes or a no, or with one or two simple options. So the background of this is, we were a military family and had lived in many places. Our last duty station was Hawaii, and we were assigned there in 1980. My husband and I both worked there. He became a member of AA there, and I became a member of Al-Anon. We made friends in and outside the program. Our children graduated from high school, and each of them got married and had moved on with their lives. We owned a business together, and in 2008, we sold that business and both retired and got busy doing things we wanted to do. In 2012, my husband passed away. Al-Anon had taught me not to make any major decisions for at least a year, and I had no thought of even an inkling of moving from Hawaii, nor out of the house that we had lived in for 32 years. By the end of 2013, many of my friends had either passed away, moved in with their adult children on the mainland, or someplace else for their retirement years. I started feeling more and more alone and isolated. That got me thinking about maybe I could be open to possibilities to reestablish myself, and if so, where? I was alone. I could do anything, go anywhere, for any length of time, and even permanently. Was I looking for something temporary or perhaps permanent? sometimes too many choices makes a decision tougher. It all seemed overwhelming with too many unknowns, so I started with my process using sort of a modified KBDM. I was my thought force and my own task force, but I realized I had access to other resources, many of whom are in Al-Anon. We have an abundance of resources, whether we realize it or not. We just have to be willing to use them. So I decided to think big, to be open to anything. I visited Virginia, Canada, Texas, the New England area. I was in Al-Anon service, and I was visiting other areas where Al-Anon members were, and I was able to interact with many of them. I gathered information as I traveled, and I even gathered information about international places that I had visited. The key is to be open, open to everything, to think big. In case you were not here for the last presentation, here are the four KBDM questions. What do we know about our members or prospective members' needs that is relevant to this discussion? What do we wish we knew but don't? What do we know about the resources in our vision for the organization or myself that is relevant to this discussion? What do we know about the current realities and evolving dynamics of the world and our fellowship that is relevant to this discussion? The pros and cons, and what do we wish we knew but don't? What are the ethical implications of my choices? What do we know and wish we knew but don't? Again, to eliminate any confusion with all the wording, I highlighted the key points. They're in green this time. So here are the questions the way I changed them a little bit. What do I know about what I want to do? What are my needs and my preferences? The second question is, what do I know about my resources and my abilities? And the third question was, what do I know about the current realities and evolving dynamics of my environment? And the fourth question is, what are the implications of my choices, the pros and cons? And this question followed each of the above, what do I wish I knew but don't? With pencil and paper, I started going through these questions. The modifications were pretty much made as I went along. I'd work on answers for a while, then get away and think about things. Because of this program, I learned I needed to focus on what I wanted, what I thought, and what was best for me. Every time I started to think about others' reactions or their thoughts, I would stop myself and go back to what I really wanted for myself. Modifications were made both initially and as I worked through those questions. What was interesting, as I worked through them, I discovered that I had even more choices, and what was why this process is so great. Under this first question, what do I know what I want to do? What do I know about what I want to do? What are my needs and my preferences? This is what I listed: easy access to family, Al-Anon service structure and established meetings. My own home, did I want a condominium, a townhouse, or did I want a single family home? To be able to travel for short and long trips, easy access to airport, potential travel friends. I needed to have a place where I could have activities and hobbies as well as physical activities available. And I also knew that I wanted to be around water. What I wish I knew but don't, if it was feasible to have all of the above and stay in Hawaii, was a condominium or a townhouse a possible consideration so I wouldn't have to worry about maintenance and upkeep? I went on to the second question, what do I know about my resources and my abilities? I have a set income with a slightly increase over the next 3 years. I could move to another home in Hawaii or do anywhere I want. about my abilities. I have a physical stamina. I have good physical stamina and strength to move now and in the next few years. That might be a possibility, say 2 years. What do I wish I knew but don't? These were the ones that really stuck out to me. Do I need to sell my current house in order to buy another? How much of a house can I afford? What medical and dental services are available at the places I am considering? What are the various fees for condominiums and townhouse arrangements? What logistics will I have to obtain if I leave Hawaii, and how much will it cost? The third question is, what do I know about the current realities and evolving dynamics of my environment? The current reality was I was getting older. My current neighborhood is changing and I don't want to live here anymore. There are possible housing options here in Hawaii. My kids will both most likely be living in, on the mainland, and in the next couple of years, they'd be moving. What do I wish I knew but don't? Where my kids would be settled, and if it needs to be a real consideration. I wish I had known an area in Hawaii that was developed for senior living that I could age in place. And I wish I'd known what my finances were so I could have that as a real consideration. And the fourth question, what are the implications of my choices, the pros and cons? Leaving Hawaii, I will leave my longtime friends and I will make new ones. I found a group I like to travel with.
Your slides, Judy?
Yes?
You need to put the slide up.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Just remind me. What are the implications of my choices? Leaving Hawaii, I will leave my longtime friends and I will make new ones. I found a group I like to travel with. Will it still work or could I find others? I will leave a longtime relationship that I had with my doctor and my dentist. I will most likely pay less taxes in places other than Hawaii. I need to consider this for any location I select. What do I wish I knew but don't? Where would I really like to live? Cold, warm, Hawaii, Virginia, Florida, international? What would I do with my Hawaii home? By the time I finished these questions, I switched into task force mode. Shortly after I started this process, two of my close Al-Anon friends announced they were moving to be closer to their job or closer to their daughter, all on the mainland. The travel group I found, I discovered I could travel with, even if I had moved. I was not happy about leaving my doctor or dentist, but I was sure I could adjust. If this was the only thing when I thought about this, I came to the realization that to move international was too much of an unknown for me as far as medical. So I crossed that possibility off my list, and I was starting to narrow my choices to Texas and Florida. After looking in Florida via the internet, I was leading toward Texas. That is when I started to get pretty focused and traveled to Texas. I took a close look to where my daughter lived and had settled, but broadened my looking and pretty much settled in Georgetown, Texas. I picked out a house, gathered some numbers for cost of the house, the cost of moving, and went to see my financial advisor. After gathering all my information, 8 months later, I settled in my new home, found two Al-Anon meetings, made friends, got involved with my dentist, my district, and more friends. I also made the decision I wanted to be in a warm place and to experience seasons again, but I missed the water. By this time, I was a task force of one. This was me. This was a little stressful at times, but I had a sponsor. I had other members and friends to talk to. These I used for resources. I was able to talk to friends that lived in other places. I did a lot of research on the internet. I prayed, I meditated, and prayed some more. I made an appointment with my financial planner. I asked myself, was I really looking to relocate, or was I ready to accept staying right here where my feet were planted? One day while I was on my daily walk, I got the nudge to explore relocation. This is when I went back to my notes. I started to get pretty focused. I went to a task force mode again. I guess I jumped the gun and told you I'd already moved. I did. I reviewed my discoveries from when I was acting as a thought force, and when I got busy, I researched possibilities in Hawaii. I looked at more possibilities on the internet. This is when I eliminated any international destinations. After I made the trip to Hawaii, I visited my daughter in San Antonio. I visited her during the 2010 AA International, but they never say select some place because you take a vacation there. I looked close to where my daughter had settled, and places I had looked before were just not meeting my needs and that I had identified. I might find one or two things, but just not everything. And one gem someone told me was, don't move close to your kids because they, for the most part, are still apt to relocate. And do not move someplace to be close to grandkids because they grow up and move away. After looking at Florida via the internet, I was learning to Texas, I told you that. After gathering all my information, 8 months later, I settled in my new home. I'm sorry, I didn't catch it. I had that same page twice. So after I made my decision, I talked to my kids and told them I was pretty sure I was going to move and get their input. I had done the service work in Al-Anon, and I was familiar with various places. Somehow this got out of order. Where am I? Well, I got myself messed up. I'm sorry. I told you the final result was I decided to move to Texas, and I've been very happy here. The one thing that I wanted to mention in all of this was that when I talked to my financial planner, he told me we talked about buying either a condominium or a townhouse, and he told me I'd never owned that because the condominiums and townhouses, I'd always have some kind of a maintenance cost or an HOA. So when I found this place, he asked me what the HOA fee was, and he was very pleased that I had that. But the other thing, and that was good advice that he told me, was not to sell my home for at least a year, because if I moved and I wanted to come back, that I wouldn't be able to find, I wouldn't be able to move back into a house, I wouldn't be able to afford one. So that's why I hung on to my house for the year, was under his recommendation. And I'm really glad I did that because they gave me the freedom to decide whether I wanted to be here or not. So that's how I use this to make my final resting place, I hope, my final living place. And that was sort of a big decision for me. I ended up getting a couple pods, and I filled my stuff with that. I shipped my car and went through everything and got rid of a lot of the stuff that I didn't want anymore or didn't need, and sort of pared back and got here and established a new life for myself. I also decided when I was looking for a place that I didn't want to move into an established neighborhood. I had done that before. And when I moved into that established neighborhood, it was mostly people that were my age. They had already established their friends. They had lived there together for quite some time. And so I'm glad when I picked out this house, it was new. I was able to pick out all the things that I wanted in it and watch it be built. And all of us moved into this neighborhood at the same time, within 2 weeks. So it was really nice that we all got to meet each other and be here and have the same experiences. There's plenty to do here. There's activities. They have a fitness center here when it's open. And so I'm really happy with my decision. And so that's why I moved forward with selling my house. So that is it. So if you have questions, I'll post this one too and get the questions up for you so you can see how I modified them and use them. And you could probably modify them any way you wanted. But the thing that I wanted to stress here was this process is good to use for looking at making yourself look for bigger things. You know, we only know what we know. And I often find myself just turning those same ideas around in my head. And so if I'm forced to look at other things and look beyond what I know, I can open up my my options. And that's what I did. So thank you. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to do this.